Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
Phone on solid.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your saying, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. And I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong, you mob. Now, damning assessment of governments to implement the national agreement on closing the gap now that the Productivity Commission commissions a first review of the national agreement on closing the gap has found it's unclear how much funding states and territories have allocated to Aboriginal-controlled organisations. The report said most state and territory governments have not undertaken or published expenditure reviews, meaning spending has not been made public. We're talking about 15 years of failure. And look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Catherine Little, Snake Chief Executive Officer, and got Catherine on the line. Catherine, good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, Catherine, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, sister.
My mob are the Arunder and Luridja people from the Central Australia regions, and today I'm on Wurundjeri country. I'm actually sitting in the hospital bed, actually next to my son who's about to have surgery, but this is a really good conversation, so I'll take all your good vibes.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I'm chucking it your way now, sister, and big shout out to your son there, sis. Look, we're talking about 15 years failure. Look, money's a tool, and we need the money to budget for steering the vehicle, so to speak, into the future. But we're lost if we don't know what monies are coming to the table. Is that right?
Oh, look, there's a couple of things there. You know, so the Productivity Commission report that was released earlier this week, you know, it was basically saying, well, we've seen a couple of things in the last couple of years that Aboriginal people should be really, really proud about and Torres Strait Islander people should be really proud about. And what it's shown is that when governments have been able to work with Aboriginal people on the ground to say, what is it that you need, how do we deliver it, and how do we ensure that you have the resources to deliver the programs that you need, you get a better result. What it's also shown is part of the problem is even though we've got a national agreement in place, because, you know, the closing the gap targets, they've been around for a long time, but the national agreement is new. What it showed was that when governments were able to commit to that particular agreement and change the way they were working, we got significantly better results. But in order for that to be seen at massive scale, then governments needed to lean in harder and work harder. So there is some real positive light shining through that report.
Fantastic. And with that positive light, well, it just helps. Like I said, we sound like a broken record, don't we, in regarding closing the gap, you know? But it is what it is, because the gap is still there, isn't it?
It is. And in some places, as I say, in some places we're getting traction, right? So a few of those targets are doing quite well. Some of them you can't see what they're doing. So I'll give you a couple of examples.
Please.
You know, we know in closing the early education outcomes, and we know that one's significantly off track. And that's the sector that I support. Mm. While that is still significantly off track and needs significant attention, what we've been able to see in the last couple of years, particularly in Queensland, has been new services coming on board, so that there are communities in Queensland there where there was no early childcare centre, and as soon as that childcare centre comes up, you know what? Mm. Every single child in that community attends. So they're really amazing. But the other thing is, and this is the ability to draw those things out, is, you know, up in some of those more remote regions that you've got there in Queensland, they've managed to not only, get the funding to be able to stand up a new childcare centre, but they've also been able to get in additional dollars to help train mob on the ground in the community, not bring people in, mob
in
on
community,
the
black on black.
To do those jobs. That's right, but it's not happening at the scale we need to have it happen at, and that does need a new push.
Sure, thank you. And so the conversations that are at the table with government in regard to help closing the gap, because we've got the solutions to our problems, haven't we, Catherine?
Absolutely. That's what the Productivity Commission report showed. It showed that when you're actually listening to mob,
yes,
and you're giving them what they need, you get a better result. The problem is, how do you unpick some, you know, you got the states and territories and the Commonwealth, how do you unpick 120 years of them thinking they know how to do best?
Exactly.
That's a really hard culture push.
Well, exactly, you know, and hanging on tight to that, being like we say a know-it-all, know-it-all, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, look, sometimes it's like banging your head. That's right. Sometimes you feel like you're banging your head against a wall. I'm not going to lie, but I do. I always got to anchor myself in where have we seen the good things. And every time I've seen a really good thing, it's when mob have stepped up and said, this is how we do it.
Yeah. Well, uphill battle, and look, enjoying the fight then. How long have you held the reins there as Chief Executive Officer of Snake?
Oh, my goodness, 3 years.
Yeah, enjoying the journey?
3 years. Oh, you know, I am. I feel privileged every day. I mean, don't get me wrong, some days I curl up in a ball and want to cry because it is tough work. But on the whole, what a privilege it is to work with our mob in the child and family services sector. I couldn't think of anything better to do.
Good. Well, the right person at the job, at the head there, my sister. Thank you very much for your yarn. All the best to your son there. And we'll talk soon, Catherine. All the best, eh?
Hello. All right. See you, mob.
Bye-bye. Deadly yarn there. Catherine Little, her name is, Snake Chief Executive Officer, and Snake is the Secretary of National Aboriginal and Islander Child Care. So working in that space, a lot of gaps to be closed, and that's one of the gaps, of course. We sound like a broken record, but damn near an assessment of governments to implement the National Agreement on Closing the Gap. And it's a 15 years failure. As she mentioned, there's some good stuff going on, but still a lot more stuff need to be done in that space. Look, have your say. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black with Trinity Trev, Murray from Macquarie. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. And come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumblebrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service.
I can see her in my mind. Oh.
Yeah, Deadly Track there, that's Vision, Lamaju, and that's Teenage Band. And yeah, you've got to have a vision, vision for your future. What's the plan? This is your Deadly program, National Talk Black. You can have your say by calling us on that Deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your Deadly program, National Talk Black, and come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumblebip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to the National News Radio Service. Now, temporary disaster roaming, successful simulation shows what's possible. We're talking from heat waves to cyclones. This disaster season has been extreme weather impacting many communities across the country. Telstra working with other network providers and the government to explore the feasibility of temporary disaster roaming. And Telstra has successfully conducted a simulation of a temporary disaster roaming solution, which would allow regional communities to use any surviving network if their own has gone down during the natural disaster. Look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Steve Tinkler, a Telstra Regional General Manager, and we have Steve on the line. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Is that Trevor?
It is Trevor. How you going, mate?
Good, mate. How are you?
Good. Fantastic. Where are you based, Steve?
I'm in Victoria, believe it or not. Victoria. I'm the other end of the country from you guys.
Look at this. Yeah. Hillbillies up north here, Cairns, far north Queensland. And look, we've got a bit of a slap around thanks to Kuralee and Jasper, ex-Cyclones, which makes your job hard as Telstra. So can you tell us more about the temporary disaster roaming solution there, please, Steve?
Yes, I don't know if you remember, late last year we announced that we're going to do a simulation about temporary disaster roaming, and now we've successfully tested that functionality that we believe will underpin that that future disaster roaming capability. So, and basically what that means is that if the solution would provide the ability for people to use any available mobile network during natural disasters, so if their mobile provider network has been impacted or doesn't have coverage, so it just creates that additional flexibility, yeah.
So they'll be able to help regional communities in those situations, and they've still got communication and contact with the outside world, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. And I suppose as long as we've got a surviving network, that's probably the key part of it, is that if, depending on what's happened in that natural disaster, sometimes when we have long power outages and things like that, all networks can be impacted, but sometimes it might only be one network or there might be one network left. So what this means is that what the test is showing that it's possible that we can ensure that customers that are connected to other networks, normally, if they fail, they can move on to the surviving network. So that's the simulation was really important for that, and because what we have to do is protect that surviving network as well to make sure that we don't overload it and create some more problems and ensure that we can cater for the additional traffic on it.
Well, we're talking about the 21st century. We're talking about technology and advancing and what have you. So this could be a possibility of an ongoing thing, disaster roaming, a reality, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. We think this is a really good first step. We've been talking to all the other carriers since March last year, and as with the government. So this simulation actually really sort of sets us up for that next stage of looking at what are the design, what do we need to do, how does this work, how do we activate it, how do we deactivate it, after a disaster happens, and all those sort of things. So to put all those things in place, so that's what we're working towards from now.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And like I said, the global warming's real. We've got everything all upside down regarding the weather and fire, floods and cyclones. So we need to adapt to what the weather's dishing out, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've seen it, haven't we? And you guys, living it right now, and it seems to be, and you're relentless, doesn't it? So, we understand that from a communications point of view. We support the impacts of major weather events for a long, long time, and we just think this is a real, as you said, it's the 21st century, and we've got to keep moving and adapting and providing the service, the best service we can. Under the circumstances, yeah.
Well, hats off to Telstra. Thank you very much, Steve. Friends of the community. All the best, Steve, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
Thanks, Trevor.
Bye-bye. Adela Yan there. Steve Tinkler, his name is, he's with Telstra Regional General. He's a Telstra Regional General Manager, and just talking about the temporary disaster roaming, which is a very successful simulation and shows what's possible. So when we have different companies who are down because of floods and because of electricity and what have you, and internet connection, then Telstra have got the temporary disaster roaming up and running and going very good. And it could be a way of the future for when we do have glitches in the system. There it is. Have you saying Yan up strong? Add to the conversation here. Hope your phone's working. Give me a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. And Yan with the ball around here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, host for your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.